This is the 10th Sunday after Trinity. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, and also with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We have come together in the name of Jesus Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may give ourselves to the service of God. The grace of God has dawned upon the world through our Saviour Jesus Christ, who sacrificed himself for us to purify a people as his own. Let us confess our sins. You raise the dead to life in the Spirit. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. You bring pardon and peace to the broken in heart. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. You make one by your Spirit the torn and divided. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. May the God of love and power forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessed is the Lord, for he has heard the voice of our prayer. Therefore shall our hearts dance for joy, and in our song we will praise our God.
And the first reading this morning comes from Isaiah 58. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourself in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose water never fails. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honourable, and if you honour it not by going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to the feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And our psalm this morning is Psalm 103, beginning at the first verse. And we start by saying the refrain together. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your infirmities? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with faithful love and compassion? Who satisfies you with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's? The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. He made his ways known to Moses and his works to the children of Israel. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger and of great kindness. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Merciful Lord, as we come from dust and return to dust, show us the face of our Redeemer, that in our frailty we may bless your name and praise you all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
And the second reading this morning comes from Luke 13, 10 to 17. On the Sabbath, Jesus was talking in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leaders said to the people, "There are 6 days to work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then you should not, this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. There are some stories in the Bible which you can imagine so clearly, and for me, this story is one of them. Luke tells us that this incident happened on the Sabbath and in the temple. The day and location add to the drama that was about to unfold. The woman in this story is one of many people who become caught up in the drama of Jesus, and yet we do not know her name. She is nameless. We don't know where she comes from, neither do we know why she turns up at the synagogue on the Sabbath. We don't know whether she was a regular worshipper or whether this was her first visit, but here she is, and I can see her. I have a clear picture in my mind. She is tired and weary, fed up with her lot in life and yet resigned to it. She is, as Luke describes it, bent over, unable to straighten herself. Imagine what that actually means. She only ever sees the dusty ground and her dirty feet. She only ever sees the shadow of the sun and never the bright blue sky. She can never look up to the stars. She cannot stare into the eyes of someone she loves, or wipe away a tear from a friend's face, or feel the wind blow in her hair and on her cheeks. She has no choice other than to look at the ground. And she's been like it for 18 years, shuffling around. Did she have friends and family, or has she become invisible and forgotten? Have people stopped noticing her and her disability? If she went to the synagogue, what did she hope for? What were her deepest longings? What did she find when she went there? And what was it like when she went back home? How did she ever buy food from the market or fetch water from the well? Did people feel sorry for her, or was she the butt of savage jokes, there but for the grace of God? By the time she gets to the synagogue, Jesus is already teaching. He's in full flow, but the woman can't see him. She can only hear his voice. I can imagine her cautiously shuffling through the other worshippers, watching their feet until she finds the space, one to slip into anonymously and silently. But everything is about to change because Jesus notices her. Jesus sees her and he stops teaching. He stops preaching and he calls her over. How did she feel when she knew he was calling to her? She couldn't see him. She could only hear his voice. And what compelled her to stand up and move towards him through the crowd? There must have been something in his voice that made her do it. And then he spoke those words, unbelievable, life-giving words. Woman, you are freed from your disability. What thoughts must have raced through her mind? She wouldn't have been able to see Jesus raise his arms and stretch out his hands. The first she would have known was when she felt his touch on her head, on her shoulders, on her back, or on her neck. When was the last time she had been touched with such love and care, such compassion and kindness? And then the miracle happened. Luke tells us that immediately she was made straight and she glorified God. Immediately she was made straight. After 18 years of being bent double, she could stand up straight. She was restored. She had her dignity back. She could see and she glorified God. When I read this story and when I think about it, I find myself glorifying God too. I love the fact that the woman was able to stand up straight for the first time in 18 years, and that happened in a place of worship in front of a worshiping crowd. How wonderful it would be if our churches, our places of worship, could be known as places where all people can stand up straight, freed from the burdens that weigh them down, their dignity and their identity restored. This is a wonderful moment. It's a moment to value and to celebrate. But as the woman stands up straight and glorifies God, the leader of the synagogue voices his outrage and disapproval. You can imagine his criticism cutting through her joyous praise. There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days to be healed and not on the Sabbath day. What a thing to say. How critical words sting. In other words, the leader says you can't and shouldn't interrupt our regular worship, not even for healing. We have a rota. We like to keep things as they are. Don't mess with it. This is the synagogue, you know. We know how things are done, and we certainly don't allow a woman, especially one who is physically disabled, to be the center of attention. Jesus couldn't have reacted more differently than the leader of the synagogue. After all, Jesus had been preaching and teaching, and he didn't seem to mind at all that the woman interrupted him. In fact, he welcomed it. He welcomed the woman's song of praise. What a moment in the story. How easy it is to be critical and to allow words of criticism, whether spoken out loud or as silent thoughts, to completely cut through the wonder and spontaneity of what the Spirit is doing. Do we allow times of spontaneity in our worship? I don't suppose the leader of the synagogue is really a bad man. He's probably just like a church warden with a wand trying to keep some sort of order. but he has missed the point. The whole point of worship is to come close to the heart of God. And the heart of God is love and compassion, not tradition. We have heard story after story from Luke, which says the same thing. The kingdom of God doesn't care about our etiquette or our rules or our timings or our doing things in the right way. The kingdom of God is all about love and responding in love now. And Jesus goes on healing the woman. He says to the leader of the synagogue, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" Did you notice? Jesus calls the woman a daughter of Abraham. He restores her dignity in front of her community. She is no longer one to be pitied or avoided or scorned because she's a daughter. She's an heir. She has an inheritance. She is fully human, valued and loved. Jesus is the great healer and restorer. He forgives us, heals our wounds, restores our dignity, and calls us children of God. Let us glorify his name. Amen.
Now we come to the intercessions. Lord, today is the Sabbath, a day when we're called to rest from our labours and spend more time with you. Help us to breathe deeply of your freshness and vitality so that our strength is restored for the week ahead. Help us to know the freedom that comes from your being, but from being with your followers, and to drink deeply from your resources. Lord, who sees all, teach us to follow your lead. Father, we pray for all who are expecting exam results this week. We know that education has been so disrupted over the past couple of years, so we pray for our exam students, asking that you will be present with them as they collect their results. Help the staff at schools to be alert to any students who are unhappy and quick to point them in helpful directions. Lord, who sees all, teach us to follow your lead. Lord, we pray for all the forgotten people in our community. We think of the housebound and elderly, children in care, the homeless, the migrants, the lonely, for those who are in unhappy homes who are afraid. Forgive us that we do not know all of these people, but thank you that you care for each of them. Help us to listen to your voice and respond to the needs that you put in our hearts. Give us the courage to step out and follow where you take us. Help us as a church to seek more ways of serving those in our community who need our support.
Lord, who sees all, teach us to follow your lead.
Lord, as the escalating cost of living affects us all, help us not to forget that you are a generous God and you call us to be generous too. There are always those who need more than we do, so give us the wisdom to see how we can help. We pray for our government as they cut the aid that they are sending around the world. Help them to see that the needs of the world stretch beyond our borders. Show them how to act justly rather than seeking vote-winning policies. As a church, help us to review how we give so that your justice is seen clearly throughout the world.
Lord, who sees all, teach us to follow your lead.
Father, we pray for all who are imprisoned, whether they be in a physical jail or imprisoned by their health, status in society, or by their own emotions, sorrows, or fears. We name out loud or in our hearts any we know who need your freeing touch right now. We pray for those in our community who are unwell. Jax, Jen, Alan, Aileen, Rosemary, Ali, Brenda, Kathy, Olivia, Gerald, Cynthia, Rod, Pippa, Joe, Dave, Jackie, Mary, Herbert, Helen, John, and Bob. And we pray for the families and friends of those who've died recently. And we especially remember Jennifer Rowlandson, Francis Luxton, Barbara Tapp, and Graham Webber. Give us empathy for all who feel trapped and uncertain by their situations. Show us how to bring your freeing love to them this week.
Lord, who sees all, teach us to follow your lead.
Father, as we enter this new week, help us to rejoice in the freedom we have in you. We thank you for your unconditional love for us all and how you went to the cross to free us from the bondage of our sins. We thank you that you rose from the grave to free us from death and to enable us to live in the freedom and joy of your love. Help us to go from here renewed and invigorated by all that you are and all that you have done. Thank you for making us free. Amen.
And as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and remain with us, and those whom we love and pray for, today and always. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you, Sally, for joining me this morning.
Pleasure.
Thank you, all of you, for joining in with our worship. It's been lovely to see and hear you, and hopefully we'll see you next week, if not before. Have a great day. Whatever you're going to do, I'm just about to go off to Withley to baptise somebody again. Not again, but you know.
I'm going to dash off to St Peter's, and we have a christening in St Peter's today as well, in the newly positioned font. So. And hopefully, we're hoping to have the coffee on the road on the second Wednesday in September in St. Peter's. And you're all so welcome, but We will keep you in touch. Steph will keep you in touch as to whether it's going to be in St. Peter's. We still haven't got loos, but they're in cardboard boxes. We have new toilet pans in cardboard boxes. So
yeah, we in the X Valley know what it's like not to have loos in or out of a cardboard box. So. Anyway, have a great day, everyone, and
yes, thank everybody. You
for your company. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye. Have a great week.
Bye. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye, Elaine.